preacher man says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a going dry. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see, my woman and the kids and the dogs and me. I got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn. Make our own whiskey and our own smoke too. Ain't too many things these old boys can't do. We grow good old tomatoes and homemade wine, and country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Because you can't starve us out and you can't make us run. Those wind and moan boys raised on shotguns. We say grace and we say ma'am. If you ain't into that, we don't give a damn. We came from the West Virginia coal mines and the Rocky Mountains and the western skies. And we can skin a buck, we can run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
Welcome, folks.
I had a good friend in
You're tuned in to the Trump Phenomenon. Here on Wednesday, February 21st, 2018. This is James Kelso here in North Dakota. The show is live, as I said, on February 21st, 2018. And look forward to having a few of you in as callers at 800-313-9443. That's 800-313-9443. Yesterday, we were talking about the upcoming Conservative Political Action Conference, CPAC, at National Harbor, there on Chesapeake Bay in just south of Washington, D.C. And that begins formally tomorrow, Thursday, and continues Friday and Saturday. A lot of really important, great speeches will be given at CPAC. CPAC is not as right-wing as most of us would like it to be, but it's pretty darn good. And so there's a, you know, to sort of get the flavor of CPAC, I think Ann Coulter this year was not invited to speak. She's a little too far to the right for some of the CPAC directors. On the other hand, Laura Ingraham is going to be a honored speaker at the event. So I don't know that. I think Laura Ingraham and Ann Coulter probably agree on just about everything. So it's getting down to fine detail here. But if you can visualize it that way, Ann Coulter just a little too far to the right for CPAC, and Laura Ingraham okay. And what's beautiful about CPAC here is that Donald Trump comes into it triumphant, and the Never Trumpers, you know, various names you can give them, the neoconservative Republicans, the establishment Republicans, they come in with their tails between their legs. And this is really quite a nice change and will make this CPAC particularly enjoyable for all of us, including for Paul Fromm up there in Canada, who I think can hear us right now. Paul, are you there?
Yeah, I'm on now.
Okay, beautiful. The another thing to, of course, note is the passing of Reverend Billy Graham today at the magnificent age of 99 years old. so few people reach that age. I think the percentage of people who reach 100 is way down in the sort of 1% area there. Very small number of us reach 100. Billy Graham almost did it and passed away at his home in Montreat, North Carolina today, after, I guess, one of the most spectacular preaching careers, maybe the number one most spectacular preaching career of anyone of our time. And the thing I really, Billy Graham had not spoken about much in politics in recent years. He eschewed politics in his earlier years. There were some interesting political moments for him. One that I'll recount tonight, in his relationship with President Richard Nixon. But he wanted to focus on religion and less on politics. His son, Franklin Graham, has done a magnificent job of endorsing Donald Trump, campaigning for Donald Trump, and how can we put it? I was talking with someone today about who, more than anyone else, elected Donald Trump. Who gets the credit? Who did the best job? Well, I'm open to nominations from you out there in the audience if you have some good numbers or statistics in this vein. But here's what it looks like to me. Evangelical Christians and devout Christians of all the different religion, Christian religions in America, they get the credit. I think evangelicals, this can be measured in two ways. The total number of voters that the Christian right, that's the term I'm looking for here, the Christian right, the total number of votes that they brought was the largest of any group, and they also get the Gold Cup for the highest percentage of their constituents voting for Donald Trump. I don't have the numbers in front of me. Maybe one of you out there in the audience does. But the Christian right vote for Donald Trump was somewhere in the like 85% range. Very high. And the numbers, very high. And it's really obvious that without that big percentage and those big numbers, Donald Trump could never have come even within shouting distances of winning the presidency. So... and Billy Graham, well, Billy Graham has to be thanked, and his son Franklin Graham for some of that salvation of our nation by the election of Donald Trump. And of course, the sort of part of that going forward is what's the saying here? Is the colloquialism? Well, I can't, but the word brung comes in.
You go home with the one that brung you.
You go home with the one that brung you. So that's something we need to remember, because if we want to go home again in 2018 and 20 and thereafter, we better leave the dance with the one who brung us. You know, what a wonderful life Billy Graham led. So we'll talk a little bit about that. If any of you, I've never attended a Billy Graham crusade. Apparently I was reading up on him today. He led something like 400 crusades. I actually thought it was more than that, but 400 crusades, reached millions and millions of people, actually live crowds that were as big as, I think, over a million people. And just an extraordinary story. Married to his wife Ruth for something like 64 years. She passed away maybe 10 or so years ago. And I think they're going to be buried next to each other there in North Carolina. Let me get my call-in board going here. Let me just one little click here and it'll show me where you are out there if you want to call in. At 800-313-9443. I don't want to. I don't want to emphasize this too much because just, you know, it's a time to honor Billy Graham and not to make controversy with him or speak of him in any way that he himself wouldn't appreciate, possibly. He did say, let me look in his, he has a quote about himself. I have to be concerned that maybe Billy Graham's watching us right now. Here's what he had to say. Let me find that article on Billy Graham. Where is it? It's pretty good. I've got it here somewhere. Don't worry. Oh, where are you, Billy Graham? I go across the top of my screen here with all these. Here he is. Here's Billy Graham right here. He said, now his article in Wikipedia is so long, it'd be hard to find things, but he said, someday you will read or hear that Billy Graham is dead. Don't you believe a word of it. I shall be more alive than I am now. I will have just changed my address. I have gone into the presence of God. So, taking Billy Graham at his word, I don't want to offend him here, but so I will tell this one anecdote and not dwell too hard upon it. But Billy Graham appeared to be aware of the, you could say, the surfeit of Jewish power in America. And he had an interesting conversation with Richard Nixon back in 1972.
That's right, yeah.
In which they talked about this, and I think I've got a bad audio copy of that. Let me just see if... Here it is. This is bad audio, so you may not be able to hear much of it. Let's just give it a try anyway, and then we'll go off of this topic onto others. Let's see here.
The 500 hours of tapes released today showing what one historian calls Nixon's own dark view of how the world works, where the enemy is not just the communists, it's also the media. Listening in agreement is the Reverend Billy Graham.
So he says there, this stranglehold of Jewish power on the media has got to be broken or this country is going down the drain.
And that's Nixon saying that.
That's Billy Graham.
That's Billy Graham.
Billy Graham.
I think it was Nixon.
They both said it back and forth to each other. But that last quote here, I'll play it again. That's actually Billy Graham's voice. The audio is not good enough that you may be able not to be able to hear it very well. But Nixon has just said to him, you know, that the New York Times and these other publications are, you know, fully controlled by Jewish power. And then Billy Graham's reply, this is on Nixon's own recordings there in his office. Billy Graham says, let me wind it back to his spot here.
Graham.
This stranglehold has got to be broken or this country is going to go down the drain.
That was Billy Graham's voice there. This stranglehold has got to be broken or this country is going to go down the drain. Then they continue a little bit more.
Yes, sir.
Nixon says, do you believe that? And then Graham says, yes, sir. Nixon says, I can't ever say it, but I believe it.
Wow.
Then Graham says...
Today, Dr. Graham...
So Billy Graham, this is when these tapes came to light, some considerable years after Nixon had died, and Graham said, well, I've got some explaining. I can explain some of that. So he tried to explain around it and so on. But it was very candid and very obvious, you know, what his sentiment was. And there was another recording of him also with Nixon where he made similar statements. But that's an interesting, you know, it's interesting to us, Paul, and it's pertinent to our time now, is that what Donald Trump has done is he's made it's more common now to say what you think. Notice that Nixon said there, I believe it, but I can't say it.
Yeah.
And Graham, of course, also, you know, had the same sentiment. Neither man ever said anything like that in public. And that only came to light because Richard Nixon was running a tape recorder in his office. And his purpose in doing that was a very noble one. Imagine what it's like to be president of the United States. I know not many of us have done that. imagine how full your day is and how much transpires. And later, you know you're going to want to write a book, your memoirs, as to what it was like. Well, you better have some way of record keeping. If you rely on your memory, it's going to be an awfully jumbled book. So you've got to have either really good calendars and a good secretary, or what Nixon did, he just ran a tape recorder. That's a smart way to do it. And he just kept a vault of all these recordings of everything he did in the Oval Office. And then in that Watergate era, somebody found out, Nixon's got private tapes. And those immediately become subpoenaable federal records. And so Nixon then had to produce these tapes. And then there was the famous, I don't remember how many minutes, 18 minutes, short amount of time, a little excised portion of one tape. And who knows actually what that excised portion was. It could have been utterly innocent, but the entire press just landed on Nixon that, he's, et cetera, et cetera. We're not going to bore you with all of that and so on. But that was interesting, the friendship between the two men. And also imagine how, two men, one of the people trying to explain that comment away as being not anti-Semitic was Leonard Garment, who was one of Richard Nixon's attorneys, a Jewish man, Leonard Garment. And he said, that doesn't mean that Billy Graham or Richard Nixon were anti-Semites. He said, that's the way guys talked back then. That's the way they talked in private. That's what Leonard Garment said.
And perhaps, I think that's interesting because it points to a realization of who really had power. I wouldn't say even back then, but I would say their power hasn't increased since then. I mean, this is a reality. Why can this not be openly discussed? I mean, if it's not sinister, why can't it? Why would Nixon have to say, "That's what I believe too," but I couldn't say it. I can't say that. Right? I mean, it really is shocking that even the president of the United States, with all the power he had, had to be afraid.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and that situation largely prevails to this day. And it's pretty widespread around the world. There have been some interesting deviations from that recently in Poland, where leaders there were pretty frank about they shared some of these views more openly. And in Hungary, the same thing has been going on. So there are variations there in the degree of self-censorship around the world. And it's but I don't want to dwell on it too much. This is better a day here to honor a patriot, Billy Graham, a great man, great American, and his family, including his son, who is a real champion of President Trump and the Trump phenomenon, which is, of course, we named this show after that, but it's just there are different names for it. One name people came up with was the Trump effect. I liked the term Trump phenomenon, so that's why I named this show the Trump phenomenon, and it remains exactly that. This is a phenomenon of which you out there in our audience, you are a part of that phenomenon. Donald Trump started something. He awoke something that includes you, and we've been waiting and waiting for decades for this phenomenon to have been awakened, and here it is, and it's doing very well. And so Billy Graham looking down on us now, and he is he must be very happy with what Donald Trump has done. And Donald Trump also, here's an interesting twist to this, which we'll cover right after a break, and we'll try to get to some of your phone calls too. Stay tuned.
Let's make a Ford and a Chevy. It'll still last 10 years like they should. Cause the best of the free life is still yet to come. The good times ain't over for good.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
For the past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point, and through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with veracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
We're back, folks. Hey, thanks for tuning us in. Let me pick my own memory here before I forget, before we go on. A couple of important developments in the last 24 hours that I need to document them for you on the air. One is, I believe it was Devin Nunes. It was a caller from California who alerted me to this and a listener. And it was Devin Nunes who was being interviewed by Sean Hannity. And I'll just give you this, what happened. I'll try to find the audio for it for you before we end the show. But Devin Nunes was trying to tell Sean something. Sean almost didn't get it because, it, you know, bless his heart, Sean was interrupting Nunes a little bit. That's what you have to do as a radio or a talk show host. Anyway, what Nunes was trying to say, and he finally did get it in, is this. This investigation, where's it going? Hannity was asking, well, where are we? You say that you have, there are chapters in this story. What chapter are we in now? And Nunes said, this is chapter two, or this is phase two. And he said, but where it's going Where is this leading? And phase two, he said, involves the State Department, which, of course, is Hillary Clinton's bailiwick. But then he managed to get in. Where is it? Where is it ultimately going? He said, Obama. Nunes said it.
Wow.
This is going to Obama, folks. And this is, this is big, big, big stuff. Big, big, big stuff. Then there was another important appearance on television. I guess it was television in the last 24 hours. And that was Eric Prince, who's the founder of Blackwater. And Blackwater, I don't know that much about Blackwater or about Eric Prince, but this organization, I believe, this makes Prince very, very knowledgeable about the Middle East wars, because Blackwater, very involved, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think they're a private contractor firm that provided armed people who are not members of the U.S. military, and they were called contractors, lots of them, throughout the Middle East. And so this was a very candid statement from somebody who's, you would expect, would have a bias toward going the other way. He was saying that the Afghan war is absolutely nuts. And he made this point. Who was interviewing Prince? Boy, maybe one of you saw the same segment and can tell me who it was interviewing him. But they made the point that we've been in Afghanistan so long that if you take the entire career of Napoleon Bonaparte, starting, you know, you could go through all of his wars, all of his conquests, his defeat at Waterloo, his imprisonment on Elba, the entire career of Napoleon is shorter than our war in Afghanistan.
Yeah, to 2001 to 2018, that's 17 years. That's more than four times the length of America's involvement in the Second World War, which is basically the very end of 1941 to August 1945. It's incredible.
Yes, and so Eric Prince, again, surprising source to say this. He says it's a total failure. And he said it's only – well, how's it going? He was asked. Is it getting better? He says, no, it's getting worse. And he said Donald Trump had great statements on the campaign trail about getting the heck out of the Middle East. And that was, he said, that's the right approach. Very interesting, you know, his Blackwater company is all, you know, their interests, their financial interests are in the other direction. So this is a very honest statement. He said he had very good instincts to get out of the Middle East. A group of generals gave him a bum steer and induced him to put some more troops back into Afghanistan instead of winding up a little bit in Afghanistan. And he said, everything by every metric in Afghanistan is getting worse. The Taliban controls more territory, more opium fields, more people are dying. It's getting worse and worse and worse. And he said, what has to happen? He said, better counsel needs to prevail with Donald Trump. Get the heck out of Afghanistan. And he said, the only presence you want to maintain, he said, is a kind that's been very effective in the past. He said, is put special operations, very small numbers, very small, like in the realm of 100 people, special operations in an area. Let them do what they do as no one else can. And it's very effective at hurting our enemies sufficiently to make a better effect, a bigger impact than having 10, 15, 20,000 troops in there who simply become targets themselves. And here was another shocking thing. He said, let me tell you how long this war has gone on. He said the men who go to Afghanistan are now in their 30th rotation, the 30th tour of duty. Can you believe that? And then he said, this is something else he said. This is a surprising statistic right after this break.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what some people have to say.
About 6 months ago, my wife bought Extendivite. She didn't tell me she was giving it to me. So after about 3 days, I said, maybe the weather's changed or something. I said, my legs feel really good. And she goes, well, I've been giving you this stuff, and it was the Extendivite. And you know that I'm about 75% better. I can actually climb stairs now, and I can get up out of chairs. I can even get down and, I got to work under a table or a computer table and work on a computer. I can actually get back up off the floor. You know what? It's an amazing product. I didn't think anything short of having surgery was going to help.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong part, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Do you or a loved one suffer migraine headaches? Listen to what scientist Kurt Hendricks has to say.
35 million people in the United States suffer with debilitating migraines. If you or a loved one are one of them, you need to know about MigRelief. Hi, I'm Kurt Hendricks, the scientist that formulated and patented the MigRelief migraine formula. MigRelief is a non-prescription dietary supplement recommended by neurologists, pharmacists, and pediatricians to address nutritional deficiencies in both adults and children over 2 with migraines. Try MigRelief for 3 months and see the powerful difference it can make in your life, or get your money back, no questions asked. Go to MIG911.com or call 800-MIG-7354. You can change your life today.
So if you suffer from migraines, don't wait. Call 800-MIG-7354. That's 800-MIG-7354 or visit MIG911.com.
What I hate is most folks don't seem to care at all. What I hate is looking up and seeing chemtrails in a clear blue sky today. What I hate is hitting roadblocks on a highway in my way.
Welcome back, folks.
And
Billy Graham's up there with Merle Haggard now. And Donald Trump talked about that today. He said he got to know Billy Graham and his family in recent years. In 2013, Trump attended Billy Graham's 95th birthday party. During his presidential campaign, Trump also said that as a child, and he grew up in Queens, New York, he attended some of Graham's crusade meetings. He's quoting our president, "Melania and I were privileged to get to know Reverend Graham and his extraordinary family over the last several years, and we are deeply grateful for their love and support," he wrote. He also praised Graham's wife, Ruth, for helping her husband before her passing in 2007. "Billy Graham was truly one of a kind," Trump said. "Christians and people of all faiths and backgrounds will miss him dearly. We are thinking of him today, finally at home," and then I'll insert, with Merle Haggard, "in heaven." But then going back to this other story that I was covering for you here, Eric Prince, I don't want to leave you hanging on this, He said there have been 30 rotations of our troops in Afghanistan. And then here's one. This will shock you. He said the cost of the war in Afghanistan, he says, we're only starting to know the cost. He said the biggest part of the cost, now it's cost trillions. Donald Trump says $7 trillion wasted, burned in the Middle East so far. But the biggest cost is yet to come. Nobody's talking about this. Eric Prince said, did you know this? This little known fact. When was the largest cost of World War II incurred?
The Marshall Plan.
Well, this is interesting, Paul. This caught me by surprise. I didn't know this. Was it 1941, 42, 3, 4, 5? Was it a few years after? Was it the Marshall Plan in 47, 48?
I would say 46 to 50.
Let me shock you. Let me shock you, Paul, because I've set you up here. This is a rhetorical sort of question, because I've never heard this said. The largest cost of World War II was incurred in the 1980s.
Really?
1980s. That's when all of those injuries, wounds, health care plans, all of those costs on the damage to the millions of soldiers, they had to be paid. All those guys in all those VA centers, it surpassed the cost. It was the largest bill from World War II paid in the 1980s. And what Eric Prince, who knows what he's talking about, because he founded Blackwater, which is it's like a private army. And they do all the same things that armies do. He was the general. He said the largest cost for Afghanistan is yet to come. All those hundreds of thousands of men and some women injured, hurt, disabled in Afghanistan, their big costs are not now. It's going to be well into the future when they get older that future generations will have to pay for that cost. He said, you got to stop it now. Stop the bleeding now. And he said, how stupid is it in Afghanistan? He said, here's the kind of mission we have. You'll have B-52 bombers bombing opium patches that might be worth $100. And a B-52, I don't know where they would be flying out of, probably flying out of what are those islands in the Indian Ocean? I think there's a B-52.
Diego Garcia.
Yeah, probably flying out of Diego Garcia. Can you imagine what it costs to refuel a B-52 in midair to bomb poppy fields in the godforsaken waste of Afghanistan? A place where the British Empire, met its doom.
It's too bad that the policymakers did not take a look at history. That probably one of the best modern armies, the British Army, came a cropper in a couple of very unfortunate adventures into Afghanistan. The Russians, probably one of the best armies of the late 20th century, came back whooped a drug-addled, dispirited wreck against a 10th-rate power. I mean, the Afghanis had no air force, but they had their superb fighters, and it was their terrain. Prudence would say, don't go in there. Our protection against their drug pushing and so on ought to be either through the dirty ops you're talking about, special forces, or tight borders. You keep them out.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, that was very interesting to hear that from Eric Prince today. And let's hope that Donald Trump heard it himself. Let's see. Then another, Devin Nunes was really, he amazed me in the last 24 hours. And he said that what's going on, he heads the House Intelligence Committee. And he said, what's going on right now is a battle between the legislative branch, the People's House, the House of Representatives, and the deep state. Not exactly, you could say, the executive branch, but let's leave Donald Trump out of that. The deep state part of the executive branch, it's a battle for power. And what he's doing now is he's issuing subpoena after subpoena, and then request after request. The request precedes the subpoena. He wants information. He is now sending inquiries out to dozens of Obama-era operatives at the highest level, saying, what did you know? When did you know it? Who did you tell it to? Give me the details. These are like what you call interrogatories in court. And these will have to be sworn responses. And if they won't respond, Devin Nunes will subpoena them. But here's what he believes, and this is the bombshell that he's just dropped from his B-52. We're going up to Obama. We're not going to bomb the $100 poppy field. We're bombing the Don, the guy who was running this operation. And he said this, Nunes said this. He said, when you look at all of the people involved who are all around Obama, and they were all answerable to Obama, it strains credulity. It doesn't make sense to think other than that Barack Obama was the guy pulling the strings. That when Loretta Lynch did something, and when Susan Rice did something, and when James Comey did something, all of it, there's a conductor to this orchestra somewhere. All these people are responding on cue. Who's giving the cue? They're all coordinated. Who's coordinating the sections of the orchestra? Well, it's Obama. And so this is going to get really exciting. Let's go to a caller right here. Alan in South Carolina. Alan, you're on the air.
Hey, James. I was calling about America's 17-year war.
Yes, sir.
Jets. I live near the North Air Base where the Air Force Reserve practices those supersonic jet transports that put our troops and supplies all over the world.
Yes.
Up those wars. And so I see your tax dollars being exhausted out of those Darth Vader-looking monsters every day as they fly over practicing. Drives the dogs crazy. There goes your tax money. Settles right here in front of my house eventually every day. Thought that would cheer you up something. At least you know where it was going.
Yes. Well, I think, you know, I think Donald Trump knows Eric Prince. I don't know that much about Eric Prince, but I think there's going to be a channel of communication between Prince and Trump. So this wisdom, get the heck out of Afghanistan, is going to get to the commander in chief. And Prince said that. He said, you know, last year, he got buffaloed and hornswoggled by some generals. Who, you know, they just do that general thing, you know, weaker generals, less distinguished personalities than the great generals who, you know, they like to fight wars. They like to be general. They like to be generals. So that but stronger minds abhor war and try to save the lives of their troops and keep them out of wars. The great generals. So
yeah, great generals like Field Marshal Rommel. That's one of the reasons he was loved by his troops, is he didn't just commit masses of men to a meat grinder, the way, say, the Red Chinese would, because they've got lots of people. And the really wise generals, like or men who thought about war, like von Clausewitz, said that what you want to do wherever possible is to avoid the fighting. That's why, while I understand it, I get leery when I hear about talk. Oh, let's go to the Middle East and kick Arab ass and whatever. As on one level, as appealing as the thought might be, it's not without consequences.
And
the fortune. I don't know that it's $7 trillion, but if the meddling in the Middle East really has added up to $7 trillion, that could have rebuilt the entire American infrastructure.
Donald Trump has actually quantified it. He said, you're right, Paul, rebuilt it three times. Times.
You'd have good
Jimmy, can I ask one more question?
Sure.
You all are much more practiced in politics than I am. But I remember back, you know, as Nixon and Graham were saying these things that you opened up with about power brokers.
Yes.
Well, all the while, as I remember it, there was in the White House one of Nixon's chief advisors named B.B. Rebozo. And he was the guy that finally persuaded him to go to the petrodollar. And the petrodollar is America's legacy of getting itself stuck in that rat nest quagmire we call the Middle East.
Well, let me address
that. Right, more or less right, or completely wrong, but how do you remember
it? Well, let me bring it up to the present. What Donald Trump has done, Donald Trump connects to everything you just talked about and that we've been talking about. Donald Trump is, when it comes to the petrodollar, here's what he's doing. It's just going to be the dollar because we're becoming an energy powerhouse. We're going to be more of an energy powerhouse than these Gulf states in the Middle East. So we will be exporting billions upon billions of dollars, trillions of dollars of oil, coal, natural gas, and other sources of energy. So that's what Donald Trump's answer there is the answer of the manufacturer, of the producer, of the builder. He's going to build our way out of the problem. He's not going to, you know, get us out of a pickle by some clever moves. He's just going to build our way out of the problem. And then on the other issue we've been talking about, which is disproportionate Jewish control over the media and over various key institutions and so on, Donald Trump is, and then the question of self-censorship, you know, can we talk about this stuff? You know, you can't fix a problem if you can't talk about it. It's impossible. Well, Donald Trump has made it okay to talk about things in a frank way. And let me give you an example. It's just such a remarkable thing that the man has done. We started out the show talking about the debt that the Trump revolution, the Trump phenomenon owes to evangelicals, to the Christian right. And what an interesting act of generosity and wisdom by the Christian right to elevate to the presidency a man like Donald Trump, who is not in any way, would not qualify as a preacher in a lot of churches. He would not be the guy. He's had a pretty colorful life, which might disqualify him for some preacher-like positions. But the Christian right, and this, I guess, would have a biblical base to it, you know, they talk about sin a lot, and in Donald Trump, they have a sinner. So I almost want to pull those words back out from the air, but a colorful life and not a goody two shoes in much of his life. But this is great. They've recognized we need a leader. We need a great general, a guy who will keep our troops alive and who will, lead us to victory. And we'll, as a pastor and a preacher and a priest, we'll pick some other guy who, has followed the Scout Law more exactly. that's just another little part of the dynamic at play here. As Billy Graham joins Merle Haggard up there in the Pearly Gates. And Donald Trump, of course, Donald Trump and his religion, he's a Presbyterian. He and Melania were married at the Presbyterian church there in Palm Beach. I've been there. I was actually raised as a Presbyterian myself, also as a Presbyterian. And that's a lot of people of Scots ancestry have the Presbyterian church as home. So the Donald Trump's father was German, a Lutheran, and his mother, a Scot, his mother, MacLeod, a Presbyterian. And as so often happens in a family, mom gets to decide where to take the kids to church. That's the way it worked in my family. Mom, who combs your hair and puts your little suit on and puts you in the station wagon. And the poor boys go off to church. Ah, oh, Mom, do we have to go? Yes.
Yeah. Yes, you little buggers. You're not saved today.
Anyway, hey, thank you very much, Alan. Any other thought, Alan?
Oh, I wanted to say, as we talked, those jets flew over again, burning your tax money.
Yeah. And of course, the soldiers don't want to do that. The troops, you know, they don't want to waste our money or their money. This is bad policy from, warmongers, the Bushes, the Clintons, the Obamas. Well, thank you, Alan.
And especially the neocons who have advised both the recent Republican administrations, the Clintons and Obama. I mean, they're
yes. There. Yes, and as the Malaysian Prime Minister Mohamed Mahathir, I think, as he said, as Prime Minister of Malaysia, he gave an amazing pronouncement at an Islamic conference where he said that U.S. Army is used as a proxy for the state of Israel. Wow. That singed some ears. We'll be right back with our final segment. Stay tuned.
Okay, nurse, let's get this man to the ER, stat.
Right away, doctor.
We see this every day. Heart attack or angina pain due to blocked and clogged arteries. Chelation can remove obstructions or blockages from arteries and help avoid painful and expensive surgery. Now there's Angioprim. It's a liquid oral chelation product that you take with juice. You start to feel the results fast. Angioprim increases blood flow all over the body, and that means more energy and strength to take on the day with less aches and pains. 60 years of research has gone into chelation, and Angioprim is the result. A safe and easy way to unblock your veins and arteries from buildup that slow circulation.
Paging Dr. Jones, please report to the emergency room right away.
Log on now for a special radio offer from Angioprim. That's angioprim.com/radio. A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M. Angioprim.com/radio or call 877-882-7221. That's 877-882-7221.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. As most of you know, my regular listeners, I offer energy cleaners for sale at my website. If you don't have a clue what I'm talking about, go to my website, thelibertyman.com, educate yourself about these marvelous healing devices. We focus on pain mitigation and getting a great night's sleep. Arthritis pain, joint pain, back pain, doesn't matter. Keep in mind, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. Energy cleaners, $285, shipping included to American zip codes. You can educate yourself all about the energy cleaner right there at my website, the patent application, the wonderful testimonials. Be sure and check out the factory-made fitted mattress pads to go with the energy cleaner. Now, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. I have a toll-free order line, or you can order it right at my website at thelibertyman.com. The toll-free order line is 800-592-9543. I say again, 800-592-9543. Thank you.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. It really does work like the review says it does. I cannot believe that after the first few days, I didn't feel as sluggish or clogged up. It has had a profound impact on my physical, emotional well-being. I'm skeptical as most people about products and their claims, and I never write reviews, but this is a wonderful product, and I recommend it to everyone. Great product! It has brought my blood pressure from the mid-150s over the 80s to the mid-130s over mid-80s, along with diet and exercise in just the past couple of months. Excellent. Thank you, David. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
We're back, folks. This is our final segment. Thank you to Alan for calling in from South Carolina. We've got a final caller here, Chris, in Las Vegas. And before we go to you, Chris, I'll just give an update on that. I checked my memory here. The Malaysian Prime Minister, I was remembering, is Mahathir Mohamad. That's the order of his name. He's now 92 years old. But back in 2003, and he's pretty anti-Western. He's very anti-Israeli, and he is Islamic, of course. Malaysia has a large Muslim population as well as non-Muslim. But he was the prime minister for the longest time in Malaysia, and he spoke at the Organization of the Islamic Conference, which is a huge conference, leaders from 57 nations. And I think at that meeting, I think Vladimir Putin was there, because Russia has a surprisingly large Muslim population, larger in percentage than our American Muslim population. And it's been quite a problem for Russia. But I think Putin was there listening to this comment when this Mahathir, who was 77 at the time, he said, let's see if I can get the quote. He said, today the Jews rule the world by proxy. He said, they get others to fight and die for them. Pretty strong words. And some of what happened, folks, after 2001, the United States was induced to fight and die for somebody in Iraq and Afghanistan, what we've been talking about, and other nations as well, expending $7 trillion, thousands of lives. And for what? Who were we fighting for? What? You know, Saddam Hussein, who we hunted down and then brutally hung by the neck, with people taking video of that on their cell phones sadistically. He was actually a friend of the United States. Saddam Hussein was not an enemy of the United States. And he had actually stupidly gotten into a war with Iran on the U.S. side, so to speak. I don't think we don't have a dog in the fight there in the Middle East, but he got into a war in which at least a million people died with Iran, and he was supported by the U.S. government and was loyal to, you know, our guys, so to speak. And he was a stable dictator over Iraq. But Israel was not happy with him. Of course, it's hard to say Israel. Who is Israel? You know, I mean, there are a lot of different views among Israelis. It's not one person with one view. But there was a large element in Israel that wanted Hussein deposed and dead, and they want Bashar Assad deposed and dead. They wanted war, and well, we got it. So I don't think Trump's going to fall for that, drink that Kool-Aid.
No,
something to be happy about. We'll get more of this for you tomorrow night, and we'll get you our first report from CPAC, the Conservative Political Action Conference. This is going to be really fun stuff to report on for you. So be with us tomorrow night. We'll see you then. Sorry.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield Tactical Bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.